Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Go Steelers! Go Steelers! Say go Steelers! Go Steelers!
Welcome to the Steelers Outpost Podcast, a proud member of the Armchair All-Americans Network. It's March 28th, 2021. This is Tom coming to you from Sawdust Studios in the Washington, D.C. Outpost. Nick joins me from the Houston Outpost. Dang, what a week! Blockbuster trades, seemingly senseless cuts, players coming back from the dead, dogs and cats living together. What is happening?
I don't know what's happening, but I need some serious footwear to wade through these trenches that have been created by the avalanche of news in the NFL this last week, and I got to get them at eBay, baby. eBay sneakers, from rare dead stock to the latest release. You can find the exact sneaker you're looking for on eBay. All right, as the original sneaker marketplace, eBay is the place to go to cop the pair you've been eyeing. In a partnership with eBay, Armchair Media will be raffling off four custom-made sneakers. Each purchase you make before March 31st through ebay.com/sneakers will enter you into a drawing for a one-of-one pair of Air Force One low tops. Just take a screenshot of your purchase, send it to @armchairmedia on Twitter or Instagram. I buy a tremendous amount of clothing and sneakers from eBay. So take it from me. It's the place to go. And win a little something extra while you're at it. eBay sneakers. Bet online. It's the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. And there is quite a bit going on right now. You have just a little bit of time left to bet on March Madness. And it's not as easy as just following Sister Jean and Loyola anymore. Because they got waxed, baby. They got put back where they belong. Damn it. Maybe a little bit more length on that mustache from their best player, and they could have had a little bit more length or longevity in their existence in the tournament. But I digress. Bet Online has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today, and you will receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online, ching, your online sportsbook experts.
Ay, che caramba, Lilo.
Steve
Nelson is done with the Steelers.
What the hell happened? We did, we mentioned this last week, but I want to say...
No, he had asked for a trade. Everybody agreed he had to go. But it looks like the layers of the onion are being peeled back, and the Steelers are not looking good in this scenario.
Yeah, so how would you explain this to the viewership, to the listenership, Dad? Because... initially, we're thinking, wow, why does Steven Nelson want a trade? There's no way that the Steelers just did a one-for-one signing Juju, a receiver, a very good, reliable receiver, but a member of a completely stacked receiver room. And by the way, I told everybody a couple weeks ago, I watched the highlights of Chase Claypool's rookie season, and it just doubled down on the fact that this is DK Metcalf. This is a legitimate potential superstar receiver if he can grow the way a lot of other Steelers receivers have. Well, I watched Deontay's last night. And, these guys have higher ceilings than Juju, for sure. And I love him. And guess what? Those two guys are incredibly inconsistent, where Juju is one of the most consistent receivers in the league, really. So, you know, once again, I digress here, but the receiver room is stacked. The cornerback room is not, and if they are cutting Steven Nelson for Juju, it just doesn't make any sense, because you also like, well, wait, you could add, you're losing Mike Hilton and Steven Nelson to keep a player at a position of total strength. It doesn't make any sense. Steven Nelson must have been asking for a contract extension, or the Steelers were asking him to take a pay cut. This must be why this happened. But all news seems to indicate neither one of those things is true, and it basically was a Juju for Nelson type situation. What the hell happened?
I know that there's no other information about this, which is why some people are concluding that it was a Juju for Nelson trade. I still don't see it, given the dollars that are involved. What's just mystifying is that Nelson went before Hayden.
He saves some more money on the cap, like $8 million or something like that. And I don't know how much Hayden actually saves him, but that's the decision. But still, he's 32. That's 50 in cornerback years. You know, love Hayden, but it just doesn't make sense because Nelson could have been your corner for the next 5 or 6 years.
He was the best citizen, one of the best citizens on this team.
Yeah, he's consistent. He's reliable. Steelers haven't had that since Ike Taylor, and then they had multiple guys. So thank God they kept Sutton. They had their first star since, you know, late career Ike with Mike Hilton, obviously a different type of player than the lockdown, follow the best receiver type of corner that Ike Taylor eventually grew to be. Mike Hilton being more of a playmaking, run-stopping type of guy who could also cover. But, Nelson was just reliable. He was incredible in 2019, his best year as a professional in general, and then regressed a little bit in 2020 to just be more like he's an above-average cornerback, which for the Steelers is a Hall of Fame type of cornerback because it's been so bad for so long. Let's go back to the money, though. Can you explain why the money doesn't make sense in terms of it being a Juju for Nelson straight-up trade?
In my opinion, the Steelers saved $8 million from releasing Steven Nelson.
Yeah.
Juju cost $2.4 million. Didn't need to cut Nelson to get $2.4 million. It just doesn't seem like definitely not a one-for-one.
Totally. And also, how much would have Hayden saved you if you cut him?
Not much less. Not much less than...
At least 2.4, right? So, like, you could have cut Hayden close and gotten Juju if you needed to do a one-for-one.
Close to what Steven Nelson cost.
So, let me scroll to the bottom of our little outline here. We have a few notes just so we know what to hit on here, right? And at the bottom, we've kept a big section called Tracking Going Forward. There's 5 bullet points that we made, I think, the week after the season ended. Like, the Steelers are going to need to fix these things if they want to do better next year. And number 4 is to improve. They have to be brave in cutting veterans in order to retain young studs. They have not been that team. They are not the Bill Belichick. We're going to cut him 2 years before he's bad. They have kept a lot of guys. All right? And so that's where I think they made their decision with Joe Hayden. He's too valuable. He's too great of a leader, which he is. And we need to keep that together if we want the defense to be competitive, which to me is A, incredibly short-sighted because he already started his decline last year. I mean, you could be in a bad place by the end of the year this year, although he's still a good cornerback. But, it's looking a little bit freaky in terms of that type of decision-making because it seems so easy. If it had to be one-for-one, which you're saying it may not even necessarily be that, how do you pick Nelson, who's probably a little bit better of a cornerback right now than Hayden, or at least equivalent, but much younger, and leave Hayden on the team? It's just...
Yeah, let me just refine my answer. Hayden and Nelson cost the same amount of money. So Hayden will cost almost $16 million against the cap. If he was cut, he's an $8.5 million dead cap hit. Almost the same as Nelson. That's what makes it mystifying to me.
Yeah, and maybe, you're right. If you're saving the same amount of money, it just doesn't make much sense. And by the way, so with the Juju thing, it's a one-year deal. I still want to celebrate what we celebrated last week, right? Looking at, this is legitimately a middle finger to the Ravens. I mean, it's beautiful. They offered him about $4 million after you had the incentives on there, which I guess would be pretty difficult to reach incentives with Greg Roman calling the plays and Lamar throwing the ball in Baltimore. But they offered a lot more money. And Juju did decide to stay in Pittsburgh. I still think you got to let him go after this year, though, because I want to. There's no way you can pay three receivers at the same time, and I'm already right now rolling the dice on committing to Claypool and Deontay Johnson as potential stars. So if they found an opportunity that they didn't expect to get to keep Juju Smith-Schuster for a final Super Bowl run, that's awesome.
Look, I think that maybe Juju's there because Ben's still only going to be passing 4.7 yards an attempt this year, and they just needed this a dependable slot receiver. Who knows?
Well, no, I understand him coming back for 1 year. It's actually amazing for the Steelers. Like, oh, yeah, sure. We get him for $2.4 million, and they're under the impression that they can win the Super Bowl this year. So, yeah, definitely keep him. I'm just saying, like, we'll probably be back here again next year, and I would say at that point, you can't keep him. Save the money for better players.
Well, you're going to have to pay several guys, right, starting with TJ Watt, unless they, I mean, they're not going to figure out an extension at this point.
No, there's room. That as of today and yesterday, they might be looking at a TJ Watt extension, which is maybe one of the reasons why they let go of a Steven Nelson, not just for Juju, but to open more cap space. Although I know you're saying that releasing him and Hayden gives you the same amount of cap space, but that's not what I've been hearing on the internet, so I got to see what's up with that. But even when you're talking about TJ Watt, like, sure, yeah, you got to sign good players on both sides of the ball. But when you're a football team, you can't – let's say Bud Dupree stayed on the team and Alex Highsmith turns into a Pro Bowler. You can't pay three edge rushers. It's just putting too much money into one position. You're not going to have any – what if you didn't have any good linemen by that point? Or you needed to lure a quarterback? You'd have so much money wrapped up in one place. It just doesn't make sense from a team-building perspective. So if you have two studs in Deontay Johnson and Claypool, that's already more receivers than they ever pay at a time anyways. We know Juju's now the third Steelers receiver in the modern era to get a second contract after Hines and AB. And even that has an asterisk because it's a one-year contract based on a COVID year, right? All I'm saying is after this year goes up, you should still probably let Juju walk to prepare the money for Deontay and Claypool, who I know are a few years down the line. But
maybe, but you're not going to have to pay Johnson or Claypool next year.
This is Deontay Johnson's third year. He'll be going in the final year of his contract. So you would.
And the Steelers, so I don't even know what the Steelers are going to restructure. Where they're going to get the money, because they need the $8 million. I think they have.
Tuitt and Boswell still haven't restructured. I have no idea why they haven't done that. And obviously, so Boswell, like, fans do have to remember that, like, you need money to sign your draft class too. So they need.
Yeah, like $7 million. And looks like we have about $10 million right now. So right. Your draft class is going to soak up much of that money. So you're not giving anybody a blockbuster at this point. I don't know how you get TJ Watt.
Well, does it spread his money out by giving him an extension that way? We're getting into a lot of hypotheticals here. Maybe we'll do some research on it. Yeah. They did make one extra signing though. Speaking of that, so like freeing up that money wasn't always just about Juju. It might have just been about, wow, how are we getting a Pro Bowl type of player for $2.5 million? We're going to take that deal. Like, we'll figure out the rest. But there is a rumor, according to Alex Kozora, this is a good one, actually. This is a tweet from Alex from yesterday. Rumor is the Steelers are signing former Bears offensive lineman Rashad Coward. Stems from, bear with me here, a Reddit post that some guy overheard the conversation playing Call of Duty. But story seems to be checking out. He says the Reddit post also made mention of Coward signing a 3-year deal and being traded to the Steelers. He's a free agent. Not sure how trade works, but everything else is checking out. So if that is true, the Steelers are doing the usual Kevin Colbert, hey, let's sign some low-level free agents to shore up the depth, just like Haig they got from Tampa Bay, although they might have overpaid him a little Super Bowl premium. But maybe that's why they're opening up some of that cap space instead of TJ.
Like the phoenix rising from the ashes, like Lazarus rising from the tomb, Tyson Alualu is a Steeler once more.
He's back, baby. He's back. You know what he's going to do? He's going to take the Brown center, and he's going to make him eat Baker Mayfield piece by piece, bone by bone, starting with the fingers. This is us burying the lead is what this is. Actually, it's not, because the last segment was semi-negative in terms of what the hell are the Steelers doing, how are they constructing their roster based on position and based on financial availability, and now this is the palate cleanser that we all needed. Have you seen this? I have seen players, you know, explore free agency and come back, just like, hey, that's sort of what Juju did when he was almost gone, but I haven't seen a guy agree to something and then 3 weeks later turn around and come back. You know what happened? He got COVID. He got COVID and had time to think about it, and the boys were like, Tyson, you want to go play for Urban Meyer? That cult leader freakazoid college coach who's going to be coaching down in Jacksonville, you want to do that? And he said, no, you're right.
This was deigned by the finger of God.
Yes. I agree. I think it was
his kids just start there. His kids just started third grade. He's got a beautiful house built in Pittsburgh.
He has a house in Pittsburgh, and
the beautiful weather of Pittsburgh has a strange stranglehold on him.
Well, he said that his teammates, so Cam and everybody, helped convince him, but then the big fish was Carl Dunbar, the defensive line coach, who's really done a fantastic job since he's been in Pittsburgh. And he said he was incredibly aggressive and incredibly successful in changing his mind. And that is pretty cool, because actually Jacksonville is an exciting place to be. First off, just the freaking weather. And you're right, he's older now and he has a house in Pittsburgh, but he played most of his career in Jacksonville, so it's not some foreign place. It made total sense when he decided to go down there. I didn't even know if the Steelers, like, I just figured it made so much sense. You remember when Munchak left to go be close to his family in Colorado? Well, this one makes even more sense. You're going to a place you already worked in for a decade or whatever it was, way better weather, and actually a pretty exciting team. They're probably not competing for the Super Bowl, but they're getting Trevor Lawrence. They have some they're definitely not competing for the Super Bowl. Let me rephrase that. But I think they're better than people realize. They have more weapons down there, good running back, a couple good receivers that are a little under the radar, and then Trevor Lawrence coming in. But I have to imagine, and we'll talk about how big this is, because it is big. We'll talk about how big this is in a second. But right now I'm just thinking about the decision of him to come back. It's not like you were going to go to the Jets and play for some trash team. They're going to be okay next year. The division's not terrifying. It's tough, but not terrifying. But for the Steelers, you do get to take one more Super Bowl run, whether it's an outside chance or not. You get to do that. And also, I would want to play for Urban Meyer if I'm a 33-year-old man. I've been on the record as saying I do not believe in the legendary college coaches making the transition to the NFL. There are so many stories about Saban from Miami that are horrifying that kind of solidify my opinion on that. And granted, that's just one guy. But so far, it just hasn't worked. Chip Kelly, Steve Spurrier, Pete Carroll had success there, but did he really? All the members of the Legion of Boom who won him the Super Bowl publicly have declared hate for him. One of them flicked him off as he got carted off of the field, Earl Thomas, in his final play as a Seattle Seahawk. And now his star Hall of Fame quarterback is the first, like, 31-year-old Hall of Fame quarterback demanding a trade in the middle of his career because he can't get along with the head coach and their philosophies anymore, right? So I just think, as a 33-year-old, you're like, I want to go down and go play for this guy who's been a literal god, and it's going to be college. Like, I don't want to deal with that. Let's go stay with Tomlin and the boys and make another run at Pittsburgh, where I know I have a really good role. I don't have to play 100% of the snaps, and maybe we win a Super Bowl.
No, he was there for 7 years, but he's been in Pittsburgh for four. Guys in Jacksonville are still left? I mean, you develop these relationships. You know what's going to happen tomorrow.
Yeah.
And, yeah, as you pointed out, there is an upside with Pittsburgh. I would love to know what the actual money they were dangling in front of him was. Did you see that?
No, but it was slightly more than what Pittsburgh offered, and that has been confirmed. I don't think it's big money, but when you make a pros and cons list, I guess it goes like this. More money. Okay, that's easy. This is your last contract as an NFL player, most likely, right? All right, so that goes to Jacksonville. Weather. That is a big deal to players. Jacksonville. Who you're playing with and your teammates, Pittsburgh by a quantum mile. You get Cam and DJ and Tuitt and everybody. Your coach, Pittsburgh by a quantum mile. You get the most well-liked head coach in the league versus a guy who is a total wild card. He immediately signed a well-known racist as the offensive line coach as his first move to come to Jacksonville and had to fire him 2 days later. I mean, it's just Urban Meyer. I don't know. He's a weirdo. He has a long track record from leaving schools and lying and doing a bunch of crazy college coachy crap that, like, you don't want to deal with that guy. And then one has a chance to win the Super Bowl and one does not. So I guess when you add it up like that, if the money wasn't too big of a gap, Pittsburgh is better spot on paper.
So, Nick, what kind of difference does this make on the field?
It's massive. Now there isn't a huge glaring need to take a defensive tackle earlier in the draft than we thought. I think it's been well documented on Twitter and on our show that Tyson Alualu is one of those rare cases of an NFL player who breaks out after 30 years old. He has been a stud. There is like a 50-yard per game difference in rush yards by the opponent when he was in the game and out of the game last year. And when Bud left, so did Alualu. So it sort of happened at the same time as two of those guys. But Alualu is a big part of that. He's a space eater. He's a powerful guy. He even gets pass rush from the interior. So now you have another, I don't know if I'd call him a blue chip player, but you have a very good player playing on the field, helping that run defense, which already lost Bud Dupree, which is a big part of that. You lost Vince Williams. That's a big part of that, although I think Spillane will be able to do a comparable job. And most importantly, that long list I keep tweeting about the Steelers literally don't have a starter at this position, X, Y, and Z. And they don't have a first backup at this position, X, Y, and Z. You just took nose tackle off of that. Hey, they don't have a starter here. That takes a lot of pressure off the Steelers. And, yeah, big that they were able to keep that part of the defensive line intact.
Okay. Explain this to me. Explain the Rubik's Cube of the mega trilateral trade that just happened this week.
Okay, I know you guys have heard this before, probably through the intranet, but let me just break it down. There's three teams involved. There's the Dolphins, who had the third pick in the draft. There's the Eagles, who had the sixth pick in the draft. And then there are the San Francisco 49ers, who had pick number 12. Well, San Francisco trades up with the Dolphins to get to number 3. So San Francisco makes a definitive statement saying, we're taking a quarterback, because they had to trade 3 first-round picks and a third and I believe a second, you know, the usual trade package you need to offer in order to get up into the top 3 to draft a quarterback. And they're either going to take Mac Jones, Justin Fields, or Trey Lance at number 3. I love that this is happening because I think there will never be another Patriots dynasty, but the closest person who has the ability to have a dynasty is Kyle Shanahan, because he's automatic offense. Whether it's Brian Hoyer in Cleveland or Matt Schaub in Houston, let alone we saw what he's done with the Niners, taking them to the Super Bowl, and then when he made the 8th highest scoring offense in the history of the NFL with the Atlanta Falcons, who then fell to a mediocre offensive team with the exact same roster the year he left, showing what a big impact he had. This guy is instant offense. No matter who is on the team, he can make offense happen. So the fact that they're not going to try and keep using scrap backup quarterbacks like Jimmy Garoppolo to make a run at the Super Bowl, this is very intriguing. So I'd love to see that. But a minute after the Dolphins surrender, you know, gave that pick to the 49ers, they went back to number 12. Well, boom, they traded back up to number 6 with the Eagles. And now the Eagles are at number 12, or at the Eagles at number 18, because they had multiple. Well, either way, the Dolphins traded back in to the top 10. So the earth has been shaken. You know, the Eagles and the 49ers are NFC teams. The Eagles allegedly are split on taking a quarterback, but you just trade out of the top 10. You're not getting a quarterback this particular year. So I don't know how this helps our hopes of a ton of quarterbacks going early and letting better players slide to the Steelers, but it has been an unprecedented crazy offseason in the NFL. Obviously, the Deshaun stuff has slowed down. The Russell Wilson stuff has slowed down. But we had a blockbuster trade, which surprises me that it happened this early. Usually, these are draft night thing. And it also almost all but confirms the Jets will take a quarterback, probably Zach Wilson, at number two. Because otherwise, why wouldn't the 49ers, Kyle Shanahan, trade up with his buddy, Robert Saleh, former defense coordinator, who's now the coach of the Jets? Why wouldn't he trade up to number two? Unless they had something they really wanted there. So the draft is coming together, and it'll be a big question whether Shanahan takes the Kirk Cousins, Matt Ryan-like Mac Jones with that pick, but with a very low athletic upside, or if he takes one of the freaks, Lance or Fields, with that pick. I think that he's probably trending that way based on some of his comments. But either way, earth-shattering trade in the NFL.
So do you think, switching gears here, that the juju effect is affecting Alejandro Villanueva? Because for all the talk about him leaving the Steelers, that has not yet happened. And by the juju effect, I mean the market's dried up, or he just doesn't offer the value that maybe his agent thinks he does.
Right, and the market's dried up for juju because of this COVID year, honestly. Like, otherwise, it's a slam dunk for him to get a deal. A player of his caliber, that's why Golladay took him forever to get a deal from the Giants. It's usually not that tough for these guys to get deals. Next year, they could actually cash out, so maybe juju is smarter than Golladay. But, yeah, I think that the tackle market seems to be a little suppressed. Alejandro Villanueva, you sort of forget, he's an older guy. How old is he? He's not 33, is he? But he's an older guy. And he played well, actually, for the first part of last year and then sucked like the rest of the players did over the second half. So I don't know what the interest is. Man, at this point, if there's any way to keep him, that might be attractive. And I bet you maybe the Steelers were saying, like, look, we're going to let you see what's out there. And if you don't like it, then whatever. You can come back with us. I at this point will be in favor of keeping them just because it seems so obvious that the Steelers are not taking a tackle in the first round, which we all think they should do because there's so many good ones. There's a great chance you're going to get a great player. It's like when TJ Watt, he didn't slide to the Steelers at 28 or whatever it was. There were just five legitimate first round edges in that class. He was considered a more boring pick. It was like, oh, yeah, it's JJ's younger brother. Like, he's good. You can take him the first round. But there's that for tackles this year, so it seems weird that they're not going to take one. So if you're not going to take one, and you currently don't have a legitimate, usable backup on the team, and your two starters are glorified backups in Banner and Chooks, it would be nice to have a little familiarity there. And he still did play well for most last year.
Yeah, he's 32.
32. Yeah, he's not
old for
a
cornerback, but not ancient for an offensive lineman.
Totally.
He had an average contract of $6.5 million. Obviously, he was looking for something more than that in the market, and he won't get it. But I'd rather see him back and hope chalk up the last year to a subpar year for him and hope he recovers.
He's been underpaid his whole career, too. So he is the kind of guy that should seek a big money deal. Maybe this is just crappy timing, but what if it's a one-year deal with Pittsburgh? Is he going to cash in as a 33-year-old offensive tackle next year? Trent Williams did, but Trent Williams is a first ballot Hall of Famer, so who knows what happens there, but you're right. It's a good thing to keep an eye on.
The blockbuster news we've been keeping under wraps until now. Robert,
here it is.
Bobby Spokane Spillane has re-signed for 1 year.
He's ready. Well, they tendered him, I guess, earlier, so this just makes it official. But, yep, another one-year deal. We'll see what happens. I think that he's a pretty comparable replacement for Vince Williams. Obviously, you can't – I can't even say that out loud. It's so sad. You can't replicate what Vince offers in terms of his intelligence and the incredible amount of on-field experience he had ever since his rookie year, filling in for Shazier as a sixth-round pick from Florida State. But Spillane, he lays the wood. We all know that. Actually, the whole NFL knows that based on his collision with Derrick Henry last year. But he had more than one of those. And we see that he has a little better coverage ability and speed than you would think, although you wouldn't confuse him for a coverage linebacker. And most importantly, the video of him playing basketball from last week made me realize he's a much better athlete than I thought because he legit can hoop. He has handles. He looks fluid. This is unheard of from a defensive player in football. Defensive players in football suck at basketball. And when we talk about best athletes in the world, my definition is always like, can you pick up a baseball and throw it well? Can you hit a baseball? And also, could I give you a basketball and could you dribble it and shoot it and pass it? Could you figure out a tennis racket? Like, it's more about skill to me and a mixture of explosion as well, rather than like, oh, these soccer players are great, but none of them could play football because they literally don't know how to use their hands. I think a guy like Russell Wilson or Russell Westbrook, maybe, it's like, those guys could play any sport. LeBron, he could play basketball, he could be an amazing goalie. That's what I think makes a great athlete. And so I actually do think that Robert Spillane being more athletic is interesting, and it makes sense why he was able to return that pick six this past year. So glad that he's locked up, but that was pretty much just a perfunctory move there.
Well, if you want to elevate your game, you have to dress for success.
And it starts with the sneakers, everybody. Look, every great fashionist or fashionista knows that the outfit starts with the sneakers, and eBay has got you covered. From rare dead stock to latest release, you can find the best sneakers and the exact sneakers you want on eBay. And Armchair Media will be raffling off 4 custom-made sneakers coming up right here. And with each purchase you make before March 31st, you can get in on that action. Just make that purchase on ebay.com/sneakers. You get entered into a drawing for a one-on-one pair of Air Force One low tops. That sentence just destroys me every time. For a one-of-one pair of Air Force One low tops. Nailed it. Just send a screenshot of your purchase to @armchairmedia on Twitter or Instagram. Bet online, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. There's some intriguing action going on with the 49ers at number 3. They could take one of 3 quarterbacks there. Is it going to be Justin Fields from Ohio State? Is it Trey Lance, the freak with very little tape from North Dakota State? Or is it going to be Mac Jones from Alabama? Who knows? Maybe you can bet on that and bet online, because they have all the best news, scores, odds, and props in the business. Head to the website, use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online. Ding, your online sportsbook experts.
Okay, now the moment everybody's been waiting for, maybe all year.
Yep.
We're going to do our draft prospect evaluation on centers.
Are you implying they've been waiting for the centers longer than the other positions?
Well, let's face it. Maybe it's a little bit more interesting than the tackles that we did, but this was brutality.
So why do you consider it more interesting? Because I agree, it's such a weird situation to be in, where it's the clear position the Steelers need the most because they literally don't have a starter on the roster. BJ Finney, he's a backup who can start, but center has not been his best position. And not only do you need a player there, you lost one of the greatest players in history there. The Steelers' tradition of great centers is unparalleled. I mean, hell, you know the big 3 before Pouncey, but even Jeff Harding's was great. The guy before Pouncey, there was a couple guys before him, but he was the longest tenured one and a Super Bowl winner at that. 2-time Super Bowl winner. But yeah, so it's such a position of need, and there are no first-round prospects aside from Landon Dickerson, the stud of Alabama, who has had 17 surgeries on his legs, and therefore, I'm exaggerating, but I think it's 4. He's had like 4 major injuries in college, 2 knees and 2 ankles. And from that standpoint, that is a red flag. Do not touch in the first round type of guy. Very risky. And then after that, it's a bunch of second, third kind of round guys. If you're and if you want to take a starting player, whew, you're starting to cut it close if it's a third rounder. But yeah, so there's are they going to be available at pick number 55? You're going to have to trade up for one. Do you trade out of the first round to draft one of these guys later? It is really interesting, I guess, is what I was trying to say in a roundabout way.
Well, it's interesting because they do more than just block. They've got to snap the ball. But let me set some context because I looked at a lot of tape. I read a lot of draft analyses. And what I had... After all was said and done, I went back and I looked at Marquise Pouncey's draft analysis. And let me just say that in 2010, those analyses don't approach the the computations and the sheer length of the breakdowns you get today. Basically, what they said about Marquise is this guy's waited too long to come out of college, hands down, first round draftee, yep, and perennial all pro. So Marquise was drafted in the first round, 18th overall in the 2010 draft. Coincidentally, you know who else was drafted in that class?
His brother, his twin brother. No, the next year, right?
No, the next year after that.
Yeah, weird.
But coincidentally, a guy we were talking about earlier in the podcast, Tyson Alualu, was the 10th pick of the draft in that year.
Crazy, right?
So the breakdown about Marquise was really fast. Those words were not used for any of the guys we're going to talk about right now.
Exactly.
As a matter of fact, if we can just, can we just start out and we can be more efficient if we just say not athletic for all of these guys?
Yeah.
Then we pretty much covered everything. So you started out with
Landon Dickerson.
Alabama. Yeah. He is a redshirt senior, which means he's about 32 years old to start out. 6'6", 326 pounder. He was the Remington Trophy winner for 2020. And as you pointed out, he has had a lot of injuries, but he is kind of, he's considered hands down, you know, this guy should go in the first round if people can overlook those injuries. But you know, the sort of the interesting thing about him is he has played all the positions on the offensive line.
Yeah, and he played at Oklahoma first, and then he played at Alabama, so two offensive powerhouses. This guy is Marquise Pouncey without the mobility, because the reason why Marquise was such a slam dunk first-round pick is his athleticism is unparalleled for a center. I mean, I hate Dermoni Dawson was the first real great pulling center. Well, the next great one was really Marquise Pouncey, another Pittsburgh Steeler. And so we know about how good he was at pulling, and obviously good at blocking a phone booth, good at everything, but his leadership is insane. Like, his charisma and how people flocked him, how tough he is, the edge. I mean, he's the guy who kicked Myles Garrett in the head when, you know, he ended Mason Rudolph's chances of playing quarterback for my team. You know, you get hit in the head with your own helmet, you don't play quarterback for my team. I'm sorry, those are the rules. But Landon Dickerson is beloved by teammates. He took the kneel down snaps in the national championship game on bum legs just because he means that much to the team. You saw him go in there and he headbutts everybody and everybody's all psyched up. And he, like you mentioned, he played all five positions on the line and to play center and be really good for Nick Saban, you have some football knowledge, which Marquise Pouncey had as well. So do you take this when's he going to be available is the thing. Like, I really do think the Steelers could – this would be a great year to trade back for the first time ever and get another pick. And maybe you take him at the you trade back to the beginning of the second round. You take him or any one of these other guys. But, man, it is a lot of problems with your legs. And, by the way, we saw Pouncey had some injury issues himself. I mean, he missed, what, two full seasons? He missed the Super Bowl against the Packers. And every time he was injured, it was a bit of an issue. So do you want to ride that again with the guy who's not even as athletic as Pouncey is? I don't know. It depends on where they could get this guy. But if you get him, I don't mind rolling the dice on a true blue chip player. But, yeah, that's the injuries are extensive. So it's risky from that angle.
So I don't know if I put his name in the category of Duck Hodges, but I do like the name Creed Humphrey out of Oklahoma. Redshirt junior, still is like an underclassman, sort of. 6'4", 312 pounds. You know what's interesting about Creed Humphrey?
Tell me.
He's a southpaw.
I don't think they're going to draft him.
Ben is not going to want a reverse spin snapping back at him.
Ben is not down for that. I'm not even kidding. I cannot see Ben wanting to do that. That's going to annoy him so deeply. Yeah, Creed seems like we talked about Trey Sermon maybe being the pick for the Steelers at running back just based on value. Like, hey, they shouldn't take one in the first round, even though they probably will. This guy is the best guy who fits their type of system on when they should take that player. Like, don't take a running – who's going to be available in the third that fits the Steelers system for a running back, right? Don't think it's going to go that way, but we kind of outlined, hey, if you're building your team, you'd like to do that. Creed Humphrey's that guy for the Steelers. He's a lefty. He's a great dude in a phone booth, like we talked about it. He's played at Oklahoma. That's a lot of shotgun snaps. Steelers do a lot of shotgun snaps as well. Spinning left-handed, I legit think will annoy somebody, but come on, man. It's a 4-yard throw. You can complete that, right? he probably won't be available for the Steelers' second-round pick. So that's why this is so interesting. Do you take him at 24 and overdraft a guy who has a low athletic upside? He's just like a solid center. He's a good player. This is a Ramon Foster type of guy. Like, you're not confusing him for DeCastro or Pouncey. But, yeah, you use one of those. I think that the first-round picks are for taking elite assets. That's why we were so pissed off when they took Edmonds and Artie Burns. And you can find someone to fit that role otherwise. So I hope they don't take him in the first round. He would be the kind of guy, once again, if they trade back and took this guy in the 40s, that would be a slam dunk for the Steelers. Otherwise, might not be available for them at 55 and might be too early at 24.
Well, we definitely don't want to see J.C. Hasenauer taking the spot. Interestingly, I recommend everybody take a look at some of his tape because Creed Humphrey was a key cog in one of the most explosive offenses in the country, and it makes me wonder. I mean, just the tape that I saw, they were so overwhelming. It's sort of hard to get a feel for how he would perform in the NFL because Oklahoma was just a machine. And
And he didn't play they don't play against NFL defenders.
Right.
Those guys don't go to the NFL, you know?
But our next player, Josh Myers from Ohio State, can. He is a redshirt junior, 6'5", 312. He is one of his most prominent characteristics is his strength. They say he can already take on NFL, the best of the NFL tackles right now. He has some lateral mobility. But I did read in one of the reports, I love this line, lacks dynamic short area quickness. And again, we can label most of these guys as plays well in the phone booth.
Was that on the Draft Network site?
Yeah.
That? Here, let's give him a shout out. Who wrote that breakdown? That's on the Draft Network. Like, we've shouted them out before. They're such a good resource to check out. There's so many different sites you can look through. But John Ledyard was one of the guys who started that, and he was a great Steelers analyst. So that's what turned us on to them. I think it was Kyle Krabs. Yep, Kyle Krabs, who wrote that scouting report. Again, really good fit. Where is he going to be available? He's very similar to Creed Humphrey. This is a simpler player, but hey, they're both redshirt juniors. Steelers love that. He played against much better competition at Ohio State, and with that power run game, the Steelers seem determined to get that old Steelers identity back with the power run game, so he would fit from that angle.
So this is a guy, this is an interesting pick because I've seen him in a couple of mock drafts, which mean nothing. I know that. It's just interesting that this hit. Drake Jackson out of Kentucky, and he blocked for Benny Snell.
Oh, there you go.
Redshirt senior, 6'2", 290, which means he looks like a box that comes to your house from Amazon every day. But he was a four-year starter. He was the anchor of the Wildcats offensive line his entire term in college, other than his redshirt freshman year.
Yeah, so he's a guy that seems like he could be an acceptable NFL center, but he does not really check many of the Steelers' boxes. They do not like taking seniors. If you're a four-year starter, why if you're good enough, you're gone before your senior year. You have more athletic upside if you're out before your senior year. Kentucky, obviously, they took Bud there first round, took Benny Snell there and whatever round they drafted him in, and fourth or whatever it was. And third, fourth? Yeah, so they're not scared of Kentucky, but 6'2", 290, senior, slow, not going to test incredibly well. That's not really the type of guy the Steelers are looking for, but if they got him, it would be because, look, he could be an NFL starting center, and there's a desperate need there in Pittsburgh, but it doesn't check a lot of the boxes.
I think one of the pluses is, though, he played in the SEC. And at 6'2", 290, I think you're characterized as a T-Rex. His arms are about a foot long compared to everybody else, which some of the analyses say that helped him because he had to learn, you know, he had to learn how to play with his feet, how to keep himself centered, how to keep himself low. So, like I said, he's kind of a boxy guy, and that might work to his advantage. He might be around in the third round.
Yeah, and at that point, if he's available, at least you're getting a competent NFL starter there.
Last guy, Trey Hill out of Georgia, junior, 6'3", 330. He has played both center and guard, which is a positive for the Steelers.
this is the one you might want to circle too. I don't know where Trey Hill's being projected to get drafted as far as the round goes, but this is a junior from one of the major super football schools in the SEC, Georgia. The Steelers have reportedly had a lot of contact with him. They do like that guard center flexibility. They've had to utilize that flexibility over the years with those positions. But, it's just going to be so funny for them making a transition from such an athletic center who they paired with an athletic right guard in DeCastro and in the Le'Veon Bell years, and that includes D'Angelo Williams' time. They just murdered people on pull blocks. They're a smaller but very fast offensive line, and they're going to have to change their identity now. You have one of the biggest offensive linemen in the league in Zach Banner. You know, that's a big, beefy guy, so maybe they try and go in more of that direction. And we know Dotson is an absolute road grader, so any of these guys could fit, and Trey Hill could be one of those guys. So at least there are a few good options. It's just weird. It's just hard to draft in the 20s, you know? Because you're not just drafting in the 20s, then you end up drafting in the 50s as well. So we'll see if the Steelers can get the right value for one of these guys. But Trey Hill, man, if you can play center at Georgia and make it out as a junior, you can play in the NFL for sure.
Well, it's an interesting thought if the Steelers would change his run philosophy instead of trying to go wide and just go behind the big boys.
Yeah, well, we'll see what happens.
Slot runners.
We'll see what happens. But the Steelers have to take one unless they do something shocking coming up here.
Okay, let's just wind this down. The owners' meeting is a virtual meeting, March 30 to 31st. We basically have all but confirmed that the season will be extended to 17 games.
Yep, it's pretty much, Adam Schefter announced it today, that it's pretty much a done deal. The 17th game for every NFL team will be against a team in the opposing conference. So the Steelers will play an NFC team every single year for that 17th game. And it works on a rotating schedule on whoever finished in your, if you finished in the same place in your division. And that just rotates. So the Steelers are going to play the Seahawks this coming year because they got assigned the NFC West. That's the rotating schedule. I don't know who they get the next year, maybe the NFC East. And the Seahawks finished first place in their division, just like the Steelers did. They both had a record of 12-4, so that's how they matched them up that way. And that's cool, although I feel like Dave Dameshek has put together a much better idea for that every year, where it should be a cross-conference. I think I said division earlier. I meant they play someone from the opposite conference. AFC plays NFC. Dameshek had said, you need to make more rivalry games. This game should be against the Eagles. This needs to be the battle for Pennsylvania. They should play every single year that way. The Ravens should be playing Washington. I really think they had an opportunity there. The Rams should be playing the Chargers. That would have been a great opportunity. That, of course, they squandered. Texans versus Dallas Cowboys. Man, there were so many opportunities there, but hey, maybe the Steelers won't have to play Russell Wilson by that time. Maybe he'll be out of there.
So the only question left is whether the NFL will reduce the preseason to 3 or 2 games. So hopefully we'll find that out by the end of the week. And
yeah, they said probably 3. I think that's what Art Rooney was saying. But you're right. We'll figure that out soon here.
And the NFL still has not figured out what the parameters are going to be for off-season calendar. I mean, I think coming up in the next couple of weeks, teams with new head coaches are theoretically able to have OTAs, but it is unknown right now whether they're going to have said OTAs.
Right. Well, a lot of the owners and coaches have been coming out pretty confident that they're going to have fans in the stands. So if that's any indication, obviously that's a lot farther away than the offseason, but maybe a few things happen. Rooney said that he thinks they'll be back in the trophy this year.
Great. Hit us up on Twitter at Steelers Outpost. Shoot us an email at SteelersOutpost@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. Until next week, go Steelers.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.